Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Just after 5 o'clock, top story today is one of the NFL's best DBs is hitting the market. Let's talk about it in Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Greg Matzik is back with us. He is a host up in Milwaukee where he covers the Packers and more. Greg, I cannot believe how often we need someone from Milwaukee, but we're grateful to have you, my friend. How are you?
Good. Happy to join, man. You want Zaire? You want a little bit of that in the nation's capital? What do you think? Is this like open season for Commander fans?
It is open season for fans. I happen to think that they've made their move at corner last year with the Marshawn Lattimore trade. But I'd like to know more about Zaire Alexander before I, submit my final opinion. I'm someone who likes to have information, Greg. So here we go with the information. What happened with Zaire Alexander that the Packers looked at someone who has been very good for them when healthy, even though he hasn't been healthy much lately, and said, we're good here, time to move on?
Yeah, this has been a slowly eroding relationship with Alexander in the front office. And wouldn't you know, it came after he was made the highest paid cornerback in the NFL, 4-year, $84 million contract. That is big bucks. And at that time, he was a 2-time All-Pro. So certainly deserving of it. The Packers' defense at that time was much maligned. They needed all the stars they could possibly have, and Zaire was one of them. And then came an injury, and he only played a handful of games. And then he had a nice rebound season. And then more injuries. He's played 14 games over the last 2 years, and then was also suspended in 2023 for a very peculiar incident in which he inserted himself as a captain and went out and took part of the coin toss. That was not a team-issued sort of thing. That was Zaire being Zaire and feeling like he belonged in that spot. He was suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the team. So it's been this sort of bizarre and peculiar last couple of years for this difference-making sort of player. I kind of describe Zaire Alexander like I describe Jimmy Butler. If he is engaged and interested, he is a nightmare for the opposing team. If he is not engaged and he is not interested, he is just a nightmare. And that's where I stand on Zaire Alexander. Incredibly talented, kind of has a mind of his own. He beats to his own drum. If he is interested, he can help any team in the NFL. If he is not interested, then you have the reasons why Green Bay released him today.
So when you look at Zaire moving forward as a player, if I tell you he's going to be healthy and you're a contending team, would you want that guy on a 1-2 year type of contract? Or is there also some kind of concern with the play level dropping off, which is kind of the discussion we've been having about the guy that we traded for here in DC, which is Marshawn Lattimore?
Yeah. So that's kind of the difficult part. So Zaire is still pretty young, right? So he's got some runway left, I would imagine. And he's also not played a lot, right? There have been a variety of injuries. And part of the other complicating component of this, Craig, is that Zaire would practice throughout the course of a week and then not play on Sunday. And he would practice some throughout the week and then not play again the next Sunday. So it was sort of this revolving storyline where it felt like Matt LaFleur was getting frustrated and irritated, thinking that he would have his corner back. In fact, he did come back for a game last year and play. Then after, just a small handful of snaps, he was gone. And that kind of, just took the Packers' defensive game plan for that day and just ripped it apart. So it's been a source of frustration. I do think Zaire, again, when healthy and engaged, and that's a key component, well, he's got to be engaged and interested, is a really interesting player to have on any defense. And he is a guy you put on the left or right side and let him go. He's not a nickelback. He's not at that point of his career. So, yes, I think he can be a difference maker. I'm not sure what his contract is going to look like moving forward. Not highest paid DB in the NFL kind of money anymore. But he's going to have to go someplace that's willing to handle the kind of headaches that he can present to a front office and coaching staff.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Commander's kind of guy. That's not really how they've rolled here. Why do you think, as Greg Matzik, sports director at WTMJ Milwaukee, is with us, why do you think that the Packers couldn't ultimately get a trade done here and were forced to release him, knowing that they've been working on this for months and months?
Yeah, I mean, I think this die was cast early. I think there were conversations around the scouting combine and league meetings trying to figure out if a trade could be worked out with another team, and that didn't happen. So once you saw time move on and nothing happened around the draft, though the Packers didn't really do much with that position during the draft, which is kind of head-scratching, it just led you to believe that there was no day a deal was going to get done. They tried to restructure a contract. Reportedly, it was a little more on the team-friendly side versus highest-paid DB in the NFL side. And Jair just kind of walked away from that idea. So by releasing him today, Jair doesn't participate in the Packers' mandatory minicamp. Had he participated in that and got injured, the Packers would be on the hook for $17 million in salary. Instead, now they've got that cap space free. So there was no way he was ever going to get past today, given the Packers' minicamp begins tomorrow.
Greg Matzik, WTMJ in Milwaukee, is with us. Is there anything else that you're following on the Alexander front from this story that you think is like an interesting leftover hangover from the Packers organization side of this? Or is this just, this is business in the NFL that happened and there's nothing else going on here? Is there like another, I'm just curious, like when you do your show today, tomorrow, or when you did your show today, when you do it tomorrow, is there something like a bigger question about the Packers that this situation raises for you?
Well, I think it to me, they're gonna spin it like, well, he wasn't healthy enough, and we're paying him all this money. He's not healthy. We're not sure if he's going to be healthy again. He's getting older. They'll do that whole thing. I think one takeaway that I have, Craig, is the Packers are only willing to put up with you being a pain in the butt for so long. And it was getting to that point where the combination of things just started to work against Jair. He was a pain in the butt, though I think he was liked by those in his DB room. He didn't have the trust of the coaching staff to be out there and play through some challenging situations. He was making a lot of money and not on the field. So, I mean, that's like three strikes right there. But put it all together, and he's looking for a new team. And he'll play. I do believe he'll be on a team, and the spin from that organization will be, we've got a two-time All-Pro who still has plenty of years left. We have solved a problem on our defensive side of the ball, and we are better for having Jair. Packers decided it wasn't worth the money.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, Greg, while I got you, real quick, when do you think we hear about Giannis?
Oh, God. We're doing this.
Just like, when should we expect to hear, oh, there's stuff happening? Or like, no, they've had the discussion and they decided that he's staying, which I hope for your sake that is the case, because I think that has been an amazing relationship that we've seen with a superstar with a city that has not only loved him, but like the franchise that did a lot of good stuff and won a championship there. Like, that's a great story, and I hope that he finishes his career there. So I'm asking, hoping that the answer is soon we're going to hear that they had the discussion, not in a way to say like I'm trying to pry him out of Milwaukee.
I don't think you're going to hear anything. He's just going to be on the team. Like, nothing. I don't envision any. Although there will be Sharania reports or Chris Haynes reports on it. My understanding is that the Bucks and Giannis have already had a conversation.
Mm.
There are two ways to look at this. And this is how people in Milwaukee digest it, because we like to protect those who kind of grow up through the system here in Milwaukee and choose Milwaukee, right? Giannis has chosen Milwaukee multiple times after being chosen by the Bucks. And literally growing up as an adult in the city of Milwaukee in a foreign country and feeling comfortable. if you ever hear that the Bucks are actively shopping Giannis, then I think it's time for everybody to be like, whoa, something's going on here. But what we're hearing at this point is, yes, there's a conversation between the Bucks and their star player, and all these teams are calling the Bucks saying, hey, here's what we can offer. Here's our idea. Would you like to engage in discussion? Name a team that wouldn't be doing that, right? So to me, there's no real flames behind those stories. If the Bucks start actively shopping Giannis, then my attention is garnered. I'm interested now. But I don't think John Horst wants to be the general manager known for trading away the franchise's best player.
That I would not want to be if I was him. I'll put it that way. You're the guy that traded Giannis. Great. Good job. No thanks.
Yeah. After being the guy that scouted Giannis, right? And bringing him here and signing him to the Supermax and really opening that window as wide as possible with as many veteran players to build around Giannis, right? The trading of all these draft picks, right? Giannis doesn't care about second-round draft picks. Trade them. We'll trade three of them for Jay Crowder. Well, that didn't work out very well, but nonetheless, John Horst's goal was to maximize the window to win a championship with Giannis. And now you're going to see some pieces fall apart. They traded Chris Middleton. Brooke Lopez, I don't think, will be back next year. And they don't have a lot of draft assets, but they'll have money to play with, which will be interesting. So I think what you sell Giannis on in Milwaukee is ownership. Giannis owns the city of Milwaukee, not the Bucks, not just Bucks fans. Giannis owns Milwaukee, all of the Deer District, everything built around downtown Milwaukee, that belongs to Giannis. So if he goes to another team, does he have that same sense of ownership? Does he have that same sense of comfort with his family? And also, does that team have enough to compete for a championship, considering what the Bucks might fetch in return for that trade? So Milwaukee just may in fact be the best home for him.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. Greg Matzik, WTMJ in Milwaukee. Greg, appreciate your time as always, sir. And when inevitably the next Milwaukee-centric sports story pops up, we'll give you a call.
I got you. Appreciate it, Craig. Thank you.
You got it. Greg Matzik with us here on the Hoffman Show. That's interesting. I actually want to follow up on the Giannis piece because I had a thought as Greg was answering too. Next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too. At the Team 980, we will talk to J.I. Halsell about Terry McLaurin's contract coming up in about 9 minutes. What does he think that McLaurin is worth? I'll pitch him on the contract that I think Terry should get, the one that I've been kind of floating out there. Say this feels fair for all sides, and we'll see how these things get contentious, which apparently it has on some varying level this time of year. Right now, though, following up quickly on the conversation we just had with Greg Matzik, Anthony, talking about Giannis. Greg joined us mostly to talk about Jair Alexander. By the way, can we put the Alexander thing to bed? Talk about a guy who doesn't feel like a commander. Guy that would, I forgot about the captain thing. Yeah, I'm a captain. I'm going to go out for the coin toss.
That was crazy.
Nuts. Clown behavior. Not here for it. Not what Adam Peterson and Dan Quinn are looking for. So I think we're good on Jair Alexander. But on the Giannis front, this is why if you're a team, like you always, like why you don't want to put stuff out there, right? Why you want to wait to the last minute possible to make decisions, right? So let's say in the immediate aftermath of the season, Milwaukee's thought was like, we are screwed. Right. Indiana seems pretty good. Boston's really good. Cleveland's really good. We have been surpassed. We are out of runway. We tried to do this Kuzma thing. That didn't really work out. And maybe he's better for us next year. Brooke Lopez is going to be gone. Drew Holiday has been gone for a couple years. Like, the only way for us to do this, to get back to a championship at some point, is to restart. And if we're going to restart, we need to just say, hey, we're going to have to restart eventually. Let's max out the value on Giannis and let's trade him. If you're Milwaukee now, Cleveland bonked again. Indiana's very, very good, clearly. And Boston might blow up their entire team because of the Tatum injury. How many teams are in the Eastern Conference feel better than Milwaukee going into next season?
Pistons.
You think the Pistons feel better than the Bucks? I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but if I'm in Milwaukee, I'm like, we have Giannis. Who's your best player? Cade Cunningham's really good. Giannis is 29 years old in the absolute peak of his powers, is a champion and an MVP. Cade has had one nice year. I'll take that.
They young, though, Craig. They young.
Right. Young teams don't win in the league. And again, would I rather be in Detroit's position than Milwaukee's? Yes.
Cavs,
I think, would have a legit shot, but like, did they make it any farther than Milwaukee did this year?
No. I guess the second round.
Yeah. Cool. Great job. You seem to have a real low ceiling, Cavs seems.
That's it then.
Right. And that's before Milwaukee makes any kind of move. And so this is why that you want to keep, you know, not necessarily keep your flexibility, but like why you don't want to commit to anything until you need to commit. And so if you are Milwaukee and if you're their GM and after the season, you're like, yeah, we're going to talk about Giannis. You know, we're going to probably trade him this summer. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, there goes the relationship. Bridge is burned. And you can always say like, you know, we're going to evaluate all options. Because the thing is, you also don't want to pigeonhole yourself in a corner the other way. You don't want to be like, we're never trading Giannis. And then it's like, you said you were never going to trade Giannis. Be like, look, we were going to do what's best for the organization always. I find it hard to believe that what's best for the organization is getting rid of one of the best three players in the world. So take what you want out of that. But we always evaluate everything. And why, as annoying as stuff like that is, it's the right way to approach it if you're a general manager, a team decision maker, both in what you say and the controlling the message to your fans, but also in practice to be like, guys, we need to turn over every stone. Like if I'm in the Cleveland Cavs organization in 2016, I'm not going, hey, should we trade LeBron? Obviously. There's never a conversation in Golden State about trading Steph Curry. There's a few exceptions, but most players in the league, if there's 450 players, 446 of them, you're having the conversation. The conversation might be very short. Hey, are we going to trade SGA? Nope. Impossible for us to improve on that. And maybe SGA is one of the four at this point. He is the reigning MVP. Jokic, etc. But for the most part, most teams, especially with the cap and the aprons and all that stuff, it being where it is right now, you have to make sure that you do the exercise. And most of the time, for way more than 440 something of those players, the exercise will end in, all right, how do we build around that guy? How do we supplement? But if you're Detroit and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know, should we trade Cade Cunningham? Definitely not. What about for Giannis? Oh. Like, that becomes a different discussion. I wouldn't do it if I was Detroit. But being thorough, and like obviously publicly, I would never say, like, no, Cade's our guy, right? But for a guy like Giannis who's been around, is at towards the end of his prime, not the end of his career, but you've reached seemingly because of the finances, this turning point, right? I think you at least have to have the conversation, but the conversation ends at the point that you go, how do we get better by trading Giannis? And the answer is you don't. He's too good. And he's still been too healthy and too productive and too consistent. There's not a risk there that you're like, oh, well, if he does this, like, no, you don't. We can talk more about, obviously, what's going on in the league over the next couple of days. Plenty of time in between these finals games. But next, we shift things to Ashburn and why Terry McLaurin isn't there and isn't expected to be there tomorrow. J.I. Halsell, NFL salary cap analyst, joins us here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. Right now, it is time to bring in our guy, J.I. Halsell, who is an NFL agent and salary cap analyst. Talk about Terry McLaurin's contract situation, as well as a couple of others with the Commanders. J.I., how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Always a pleasure to have you. So, let's start off with Terry, who is looking for a contract extension for the second time in his career. And he's in a pretty interesting spot because, J.I., he has been incredibly productive, and last year was his best season ever. But he also is now 30 years old, or is about to be 30 years old, will be by the time the season starts. So if you were working for a team, what would you be telling Terry's agent? If you were Terry's agent, what would you be locking in on with the team to get your guy paid?
Yeah, I think both agent and club understands that Terry should be paid like a number one wide receiver. The question, though, becomes, given the fact that, yes, this 2025 season will be his age 30 season, it kind of reduces, though, the value of his number one wide receiver contract. We're obviously not going to pay him akin to Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, where those deals are in excess of $35 million per year. But we're also probably not going to pay him similar to Brandon Ayuk, who's at $30 million per year. So the question then becomes, okay, well, who's a comparable contract? And so whether you're the agent or you are the club, you look at – actually, Chris Godwin's probably a good example in a lot of different ways, right? Because Chris Godwin is also roughly the same age as Terry McLaurin. But unlike Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin's healthy. So we know that Chris Godwin is coming off of a severe ankle injury last season, and yet – the New England Patriots were willing to pay him $30 million per year in free agency this year. So if I'm Terry McLaurin's agent, even though that's not a real deal, I'm pointing to that fact that this team was willing to pay Chris Godwin $30 million per year in free agency coming off a severe ankle injury. So therefore, if I'm the Washington Commanders and I know who Terry McLaurin is, both on the field, in my scheme, and in my locker room, why would I not pay him something close to $30 million per year? Now, T. Higgins is another kind of comparable, even though he's a number two wide receiver in Cincinnati. But as a high-end number two wide receiver, he's getting paid just under $29 million per year. So those are all the different considerations when we think about, okay, from an APY standpoint at least, what should a Terry McLaurin deal look like?
So if here's a contract that I have been throwing around is like, this feels fair to me, J.I. You tell me what you think of this. Let's go 3 for $90. So we hit the $30 million, 76 guaranteed, which would put him in the top three of total guarantees, according to Over the Cap. That would actually get him the second highest behind Jefferson. That actually put him above Chase and fully guaranteed. Obviously, the total guaranteed versus fully guaranteed, those numbers are a little bit different, and that 76 is a little bit farther down on that front. But that way, we keep things fairly short. We're pretty confident that Terry is going to be good for the next couple of years. It's obviously pretty dense in terms of the cash flow there. But if I tell you 3 for $90, 76 guaranteed, how does that sound to you?
I think if it were structured in a way whereby, let's say he's making 76 in the first 2 years, so that first two new year average is 28, I think that makes sense because then, you know, we're talking about, well, no, let me take that back. That's actually not proper math. So what I would, $76 million on a 3 year, I mean,
so you're looking at basically like a true 30, probably those first 2 years, and then a $16 million hit in the third year.
So for me, I'm thinking the only way he gets to $30 million is if what we've seen in like the Tyreek Hill deal, the Devontae Adams deal, whereby, you know, there's a big chunk of money in the last year of the deal. So in my head, I'm thinking if the goal is to get to $90 million over 3 years, well, perhaps it's ballpark it. Let's call it 56 in the first two and then 34 in the last year of the deal. So that way, now you're getting the player his $30 million per year APY that he wants, but in my head, I'm paying 26, 27 in the first 2 years, which I think is probably the right number when you compare him to, say, a DJ Moore contract. But we're only getting to 34, mainly for aesthetic purposes.
J.I. Halsell, salary cap analyst, also an NFL agent with 3 Strands Sports with us here on The Hoffman Show. Okay, so that makes sense on some level to me. If I'm Terry, I'm saying I'm better than DJ Moore. I'm better than even like DK Metcalf is a deal that I've heard thrown around as a comparison. His was a longer deal with a lot of funny money in it, but everyone kind of gets to say their thing in terms of the number. They get their bragging rights here and there, but it's something that still kind of works out for the team. How does if I'm Terry's agent and I'm like, my guy's way better than DJ Moore. Like, what are you saying if you're the club there? Or you know, just the DK formatting where maybe we go a little bit longer on the deal, even though he's an older player, does that actually become more appealing because it lets us spread out some of the cap?
I would say that a couple of things. When we talk about DK Metcalf or any of these other kind of $30 million plus per year wide receivers, all those guys are a lot younger. Well, and a lot is a relative term, but they're younger than Terry McLaurin. They're not going into their age 30 season. Right. And so that's where it becomes, okay, if we're going to get you to $30 million per year, we're really only doing it for aesthetic purposes. I really feel comfortable with 28. And so now on the agent side of this, if you're telling me we can get there to $30 million per year, you know, aesthetically, so that it's 3 years for 90, but you're going to guarantee $56 million of it or more, then perhaps that's where you kind of strike the balance. It's like, we're not getting to the APY that we necessarily want, but if you're going to guarantee a significant portion of it, for most of these player contracts, that's the most important metric anyway. That's where I want to be competitive relative to the rest of the wide receiver market. Because, again, if we're saying that Terry McLaurin, and the agent is probably not going to agree with this, but if we're saying Terry McLaurin is not too different than Chris Godwin took a $22 million per year deal to stay in Tampa. And I'm not saying that was the right deal, because $22 million per year in Tampa relative to $30 million he passed up on in New England is a material number, but it is a factual metric. So, again, you've got to figure out kind of where do you want to pick and choose your battle when we think about structuring a deal for Terry McLaurin. And I think for him, it's about winning on the guarantee and maybe not getting caught up in, I want a $30 million per year guarantee like some of these younger wide receivers.
So that was gonna be my next question for you, J.I. is like, if you're, and I put you kind of in the role of the team here a couple times. If you're Terry's agent doing this, and you know you're in a very unique spot because of his age, but also the production, like his ascension still looks like it's happened. Like his last year was his best year. So you're gonna be arguing that my guy's not even declining. Like he's still on the ascent. He's still getting better. He's only gonna get better with another year with Jaden and Cliff. What's a number that's important to you? Is it, you know, if I'm sorting this out on over the cap, looking at it, is it the total guarantees? Is it the fully guaranteed? And what kind of ballpark do we need to be in to get this done?
Yeah, I think it really is. How much is truly guaranteed at signing? What is the total guarantee? Because I'm thinking this is going to be more of a shorter deal, it is the vast majority of the total guarantee being truly guaranteed for skill, injury, and cap at signing. And again, it's really about maximizing the total guarantee relative to the number of years on the deal. And that being that guarantee per year number, that's way more important than where we end up on the total value average per year.
So the last question I have on Terry's contract for you, J.I., is Jaden Daniels, and I can't believe we're already talking about this, but like in 3 years, Jaden Daniels, if he is remotely close to what he was last year, is going to be the highest paid player in football. He's going to make God knows how much money, $70, $80 million a year. And the cap, you know, it'll be relative to a cap that's continued to go up in that point. But we know that eventually, like, you want to have very clear decks to be able to get that deal done the second Jaden becomes extension eligible. How does that impact what you might do for a guy like McLaren if you want to say, hey, it's going to be maybe a 3 or 4 year deal, and normally we pack a bunch of money at the end? Is there any scenario where it makes sense for the team to pack something at the beginning because they have money and space now, and you know that you want clear decks later?
I think you can get both of these guys signed. I think Terry McLaurin can be extended, and you can still extend Jaden Daniels after the 2027. After the 2026 season. The way you structure it is, yes, kind of like what you just suggested on a Terry McLaurin deal. You try to maybe have those cap numbers be a little bit more in the front of the deal. You put mechanisms in the Terry McLaurin contract so that you reduce the cap numbers into 2026, 27, 28, particularly in 27 and 28 when you anticipate having a Jaden Daniels extension. There's a lot of cap gymnastics that can be done such that you can extend Terry McLaurin and you can pay Jaden Daniels $70, $80 million per year after the 2026 season.
J.I., you're looking at Marshawn Lattimore's contract, and he is, as far as we know, not there. He might be missing mandatory minicamp. We'll find out tomorrow when he gets there. He's got $16 million this year, $16 million next, but it's just $2 million to move on from him this year. So, and basically nothing is guaranteed further. Does that scream to you that this is a guy that wants something with his contract? And if so, what would it be? Or, you know, he's missed OTAs and a bunch of voluntary stuff in the past. Maybe he shows up tomorrow and this is no big deal. But based off the structure, like, does this seem like something where he might want something? And if so, how can Adam Peters make him happy contractually without changing too much of the math on his end of it?
I think for a guy who they traded for and didn't really get a lot of return on last season, like, I don't really foresee them doing much contractually. And also, you just said it. I mean, he's got a history of – he's not really a big off-season workout participant historically. So I don't really see the club doing much, if anything, to adjust his contract, even if it is to, like, sweeten the pot here in 2025.
Yeah, that's the question I have, is, like, if he doesn't show up, you just be like, all right, we'll guarantee some of your money for this year, but we're not actually changing anything. We can still cut you after the year, et cetera, but we'll see. J.I. Hall, salary cap analyst and NFL agent for 3 Strand Sports. J.I., always great to have you. Thanks so much for your time, as always, and the insight on this very complicated conundrum, the Commanders are in with Terry McLaurin.
Appreciate it, Craig.
All right, it's J.I. Halsell with us here on the Hoffman Show. Still to come here on the Team 980. We have our weekend in review coming a little bit. How did some of the teams in town do this weekend? Some good, some bad. There's also the comments made by Aryna Sabalenka, the runner-up at the French Open. You definitely probably saw these over the weekend about her loss to Coco Gauff. Anthony just screaming in our chat this morning, foul play. I have a slight disagreement. We'll get there coming up in just a little bit. And also this Kevin Willard story that dropped in the Baltimore Sun this morning. They investigated everything around his departure. We'll get into that in the 6 o'clock hour as well.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stop and Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube. Two at the Team 980. Tomorrow, we will be in Ashburn. Minicamp starts tomorrow, mandatory minicamp. Don't expect Terry McLaurin to be there. I will be there, though, and our show will be live from the media room tomorrow afternoon, which is fun because that means I get to pull my friends in and be like, hey, here's a microphone. Start talking. So Sam Fortier might be on the show tomorrow. Nikki Javala might be on the show tomorrow. Whoever else is, bopping around in between TV hits is bored. So pick your favorite local TV anchor or your least favorite local TV anchor. They equally could be on the show tomorrow. unless it's Chick Hernandez, because I think I saw on Instagram that Chick is in Morocco right now. No, where is he? He's in Turin. So he's in Italy. I think he was in Morocco. He's traveling.
Everybody's about to be traveling, huh?
Yeah, we're getting into vacation season. You're about to be on vacation.
I am. Are you?
I don't think so. We'll see. I have one trip now that I think I might do in July. But other than, and it's like it's a family adjacent thing. But like big trips, those are going to wait till the fall. Which I realize is not exactly ideal during football season, but like, not my fault. My friends wanted to get married in Portugal.
Oh, so now you're going back to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So figure that out when we get there. Anyway, tomorrow, Ashburn will have someone in terms of an interview with a player after practice, and then we'll see who wants to pop by while we're yapping about it during the show live. But we'll do that out from the media center out in Ashburn. So obviously talk of the town is Terry in the contract. And I don't know, J.I. stuff was interesting because I feel like the NFL often just defaults to, and like with good reason, like let's push all the money later. And like teams do this stuff the same way all the time. And I don't know, man. Like, maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm missing something. J.I. is way smarter about this stuff than me. But Terry's cap number this year is set to be on his current deal, $25 million, right? He's extension eligible. They can rip up the current contract and then tack on more years. And they can drop his cap number this year, which is what most teams typically do. But it's June 9th. They don't need a bunch of cap space. They've got $21 million still, according to Over the Cap. I would probably have Terry, if it's me, I think I'd just give Terry an astronomical cap number this year. Have him count $32 million against the cap this year. Like, how do I sign an extension where his cap number gets higher? Who cares if I'm not going to need you. You always want to have some money to sign free agents during the year, right? Guys get hurt. You need to be able to sign league minimum deals. It's those are a couple $100,000 or like, depending on when you sign them in the season, hundreds of thousands of dollars. League minimum is like $850 or something like that. I think maybe it's $600 for rookie guys, for vested veterans. It's higher. But if you sign a guy in week 10, like you only pay that amount moving forward. Obviously, some guys are not going to sign for that. So you want to have the ability to pay, say, hey, a veteran guy X who hasn't played all season because he's waiting for the right thing. It's week 7. We're going to pay you $2 million. So like, you want to have cap space going into the season always. But you don't need $21 million of cap space. That is just wasted resources. And now, they also don't necessarily need money next year. They've got $70 million, but they obviously will need to pay Terry. And they might need to give Tunsil an extension. You know, there's a bunch of guys that are going to have to get redone that currently are carrying significant cap space. Like Frankie, probably after next season, needs a new deal. Dorrance Armstrong, if you're going to keep him, like you might look at an extension there. He might just wind up staying. But there's a lot of, in the guaranteed salary column, there's a lot of zeros, even if there's a lot of money in the cap hits column for their 2026 cap table. 2027, you know, that's when we're starting to count big numbers for Jaden, and they currently have, you know, not a lot of money committed. Daron Payne will have a cap number that will hit that year for some. Cosme's on the books for real for that year. Armstrong, Biadasz, like those guys have void years on their contracts that are going to be paid out that year. Kinlaw's on the books, but also could come off for a significant amount. Long story short, they have 190. They're projected to have like 190 something million dollars in 2027. So it's not like they need to squeeze the money out, but they're going to need to sign guys eventually. And I just think that this is a rare opportunity for the Commanders to just say, pay a lot of money now. We have flexibility for later. The more money we pay you now as long as you produce this year, it's not a waste. And it's a chance to do something a little bit differently. I also think that the 30-year-old thing for Terry is, like, I get it, but I also think he's going to be an exception. He takes exceptional care of his body. He's been incredibly durable. And the other thing, Anthony, is he didn't play that. Like, it's not like he's played a zillion snaps. You know, he wasn't super featured in college. And now, in the pros, he's been very, very consistent, has played a fair amount of snaps, but not an outrageous amount. It's not like he hasn't been a part of rotations throughout his career. And he just had his best season ever. And the one thing I should have asked J.I. is about kind of what he means culturally to the team and how much that's worth. But that's why, like, the Godwin thing, I don't know, man. Like, to me, Terry's just significantly, maybe not significantly, Chris Godwin's really, really good. But he's a better player. Definitively, that's a good word. Definitively better player. And Godwin took a ridiculous discount because New England tried to money whip him. Thing is, if Terry was on the open market, you think that New England would try to pay him like 34? Probably. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. It's just like, he deserves to be a $30 million a year guy. I know that's a kind of a silly barometer, but like, he deserves it. And because I think he's that good. And the age 30 season thing, if you're going to pay him out this year, next year, and have the ability to get out in year three, make that work. Whatever that looks like, make that work. 60-something million, whatever. Make it work.
No, I agree with you. I think, and I didn't even realize, you know, well, it's not that I didn't realize. I forgot that we were willing to, you know, pay Chris Godwin all that money.
No, New England was.
Yeah. But I think the point that you made in terms of, you know, Terry having a career year and, you know, the fact that it looks like he's still, like, here, if not, you know, on the up and up still, you know, he's probably has another level in his game to unlock. Again, that was his first year with a good quarterback. So I think if you take all of that into effect and the fact that he sort of kind of impacted winning last year, he broke, you know, our touchdown receiving record. So I think that matters as well. So I'm
sure
he's more than deserving of it, and they need to get this deal done.
Yeah, it's definitely odd that it hasn't been, but I also, this is how business gets done in this league, and it takes two sides to tango. So we'll hopefully find out more tomorrow. All right, again, we'll be in Ashburn tomorrow. When we get back, though, on the Team 9 AER final hour, we'll look back at some of the biggest sports stories of the weekend, including the discourse. Oh, we love a discourse conversation about what Aryna Sabalenka said, the tennis player, world number one, who lost to Coco Gauff in the French Open women's final, plus the men's final, one of the greatest sporting events we've ever seen. We'll talk about it all and some of what else happened this weekend as we go here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.